Welcome to the Watching for Jesus program tonight. That's a quick start. My name is Thomas Gamble. I'm the host of this program tonight, and welcome. Family is brought to you by RevelationRadioNetwork.com, coming at you tonight on this Monday. We're here every Monday from 8 to 10 p.m. And welcome. Family, tonight I have... Whoa. Hello.
Hello.
Hello, can you hear me?
You are on. Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, we on?
Okay. I'll put your mic live again, and then if the music stops, go ahead.
Okay, I was going already. And the music started back again. Okay. Okay, because I was...
And the air is acid rain.
Welcome to Revelation Radio Network, brought to you by the program tonight. Or the program tonight is brought to you by, I got it backwards, didn't I? Watchmen for Jesus program is brought to you by RevelationRadioNetwork.com tonight. Welcome. We're here every Monday, 8 to 10 p.m. And family, welcome. My name is Thomas Gamble, and tonight we're going to talk about a little bit of the news, because there's all kinds of things going on that I want to bring up. We have the movie Noah that's came out recently. I'm going to talk a little bit about that. Oh man, don't waste your money. But I only sat through about 2 hours of it, and that was it. I'll talk about it a little bit later, about that particular movie. But I want to talk tonight primarily about the pre-Adamic race, the alleged race before Adam and Eve. Because Noah seems to be on the highlight as far as the movie goes, and the idea of the sons of God is coming up again, because that's what's referring to. This has a lot to do with Yeshua, has a lot to do with Jesus, has a lot to do with this alien thing. It's all connected together in very much a convoluted display and an incredible agenda that has connections that can be placed together. And it's amazing what they're getting ready to do. It really is. Got to connect the dots to get ready. You know, we're all in the same boat. We're all in the same earth. We're all human. And the only extraterrestrial, the only human, other part human, are the hybrids created by the Nephilim, created by the fallen angels, connected with our governments and our science and so forth. And they are real. At some point in time, when they have everything together, you will see them. Those here will see them. You will be confronted with them. They'll be in your front doorstep. Because they do exist, as in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the end times. You see. And that's not a cliche out of the Bible. It's exactly what's going to happen. You see, and people just kind of poo-poo it and just say it as cliches and Bible studies and Sid Roth. It's supernatural, and they talk about this, that, and the other, but family, it's going to come home to roost, because it's for real. And the Bible, every single word of that Bible, King James Bible, every word is true. It's more true than any book that it doesn't make any difference what book it is, literally. Now, I know the Vatican is putting together, you know, they're coming up with some of their, we have archive books that we're going to translating as, you know, hundreds and hundreds and thousands of years old or whatever, you know. Well, it's going to be trash and garbage when they come out with it. Same thing for the Jewish side in Israel. They're going to come up with new books of script and the Book of Enoch. The Book of Enoch is scripted. It's a Gnostic book, never written by Enoch. In Jude, it refers to the prophecy of Enoch, never the book of Enoch. So there's an assumption made that the prophecy equals book, and it don't. Prophecy is carried down from generation to generation. In the specificity of Enoch, you had three more generations to go. Enoch, Lamech, and Noah. So that was three generations of prophecy. This is his grandfather. Prophecy, that's not a big deal. You know, it's only like two more generations to Noah was a prophecy was passed on. Enoch was taken at 365 years old. God transgressed him, changed his DNA, and took him while he was alive to heaven. So he didn't write any book, you see. But his prophecy, because he was a man of God, was passed down. And yes, the book of Enoch does speak about the angels. But there's a lot of inconsistency and a lot of errors in the book of Enoch. However, once the disclosure happens, whenever it happens, next 10 years, next month, whenever they finally come out with this alien nonsense, the whole world, everything will change as you know it. When it happens, the book of Enoch then will be the primary book on this earth. And the King James Bible, the only true word of God that is on this face of this earth, will become, for the majority of the earth, will become overshadowed. Because you'll see the so-called aliens, but they're not aliens. And there's no good ones. They're all evil. Matter of fact, it's confirmed by Swedenborg. 18th century, the man who spoke with angels. He confirms it. He knew them as angels. He knew them as fallen angels, Swedenborg. Look him up. He says all they do is lie. Any word that comes out of their mouth is a lie. And he's exactly right. Now, Swedenborg, although he has a corrupted religion called universalism, was telling the truth about the sons of God, the fallen angels. Later become known after 1890s as aliens or extraterrestrial masquerade. Hollywood Halloween on steroids. It's coming, family. Don't know when, don't know what generation, what decade, or what year. But it'll come after a major disaster, out of some chaotic event that they'll orchestrate. And the fallen angels, the first one, Sanan Emanuel, the one calling himself Jeshua, will say, I am an alien. I am the one you call Jesus, but my name is Yeshua. A great deception will happen. You'll find it right now if you look it up at this second. While I'm talking, look up Sananda, S-A-N-A-N-D-A, Sananda. Link it up with Yeshua. And you'll find he's what's called an ascended master. There's no such thing as ascended masters. These are fallen angels with masquerading as ascended masters that's been leading mankind in every inspiration. Everything. Seven of them, actually, the Council of Seven, on a general scale of rank, have in fact, and with objectives, controlled, set up, designed, created all protocols from the beginning of our time in the area of education, philosophy, which is a useless course, religion, all religions are corrupted, science, arts, politics, and finance, worldwide, since the beginning of time. You see, we've been set up for the mark of the beast since whenever the first day was they come up with a currency of any kind. Mammon. Money has always been. See, in God's creation, there's no such thing as money. It's us working. You're given different gifts to help each other. There's no exchange of money. You see. the races or nationalities, whatever you want to call them, they started after Peleg, after Nimrod, when they changed the languages. Either instantly or afterwards, over a period of generations, because of the different locations that the different cultures were placed on the earth. The power structures of the earth is different from north to south, east to west, affected the DNA, the melatonin. And it affected different species of bears, of everything, bears and birds and whatever, and humans. And that was after Nimrod that the DNA structures were changed. Now, it is speculative as whether God changed it instantly when he changed the languages at Tower of Babel, or if through a period of time when everybody divided after the panic of that period of time when he tore down the Tower of Babel and changed the languages supernaturally. God can do that, you know. Over a period of generations, but in different locations because they would have migrated away from each other. God would have made sure of that. And then he raised the water table around the 10th generation, around the generation of Peleg. He raised the water table and separated the land to make sure people, the cultures, races, whatever, stayed separate. So man could not come together and plot against God. He wanted us to be separate and divided, but still love each other, still care for each other when that time came, but never to come together. Well, the agenda of Satan was to take the division and use that to foment wars, to make chaos, and that's exactly what's happened. And now the wars, eventually, mankind would want to stop war. Of course, Satan created it anyway with using his minions and his human servers. Vatican, religion, you see, politics, all that. So eventually mankind would get tired of fighting each other, which is against God anyway. Sovereignty, patriotism, all comes from Satan to keep us divided. Sovereignty and patriotism cause us to want to fight each other when we have a false flag. And they, every single war confirmed. Sinking of the Maine, false flag. Lusitania was a setup by Churchill and J.P. Morgan. They murdered those folks on the Lusitania working with Germany. Absolutely. Same thing at Pearl Harbor. FDR, Churchill, Japanese elite, set up Pearl Harbor in 1925-28 as a false flag. To galvanize patriotism, let's go fight those Japs and those, yeah, and then they say, let's go fight those Americans. It's all part of it. So after centuries and centuries and centuries of wars, using currency, it's all been set up to take us to where we are today. And they have accomplished their goal. And they will hide those hybrids of bringing all the races together in one race. And that, in fact, is an established agenda. And the Americas were to be the new Atlantis with this new hybrid of a human, of a mixture of races. So they've made it everything opposite. And before I dedicate the program, I'm going to, while I'm on this subject, put your money where your mouth is my rule. Quote, after they crown one king above the entire earth, they will the following. I quote William G. Carr, Red Fog Over America, 1955, quoting the protocols. Quote, the agentur of the Illuminati will then proceed to eradicate racial characteristics by mixing the black, red, yellow, and white races. This experiment has already been carried out on a large scale. Dr. Brock Chisholm advocated on the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation that, quote, by mixing the races, all racial problems would disappear, unquote. One religion, races combined, one currency called the Mark of the Beast, which is going to be a digital tattoo, and one government called the New World Order. And everybody's falling right in line with it, too, perfectly. See, Jesus Christ is going to bring a one world government also, but it will be based on love, justice. But the one that's coming to you now is going to be based on murder and depopulation. And people will think it's peace. It will not be peace. Because Dr. Brock Chisholm, when the plans escalated after 1945, he then sums it up in what the real agenda is. And they set forth on that in 1946 through Tavistock. Everything I'm telling you is fact. And I hope you don't believe me. I hope you challenge it. I really do. I really do. I mean, I would. I'd test it out. Dr. Brock Chisholm said, that in one quote, you know, Brock Chisholm was the director of the World Health Organization in 1945, 46 to 48. He had a lot to do with the planning process of the New World Order beginning in 1945, 46. And they've all the entire process has been laid out from that point on. And he said, I quote, "To achieve world government, it is necessary to remove from the minds of men their individualism, loyalty to family tradition, national patriotism, and religious dogmas, unquote. That all began in 1946. They needed sovereignty and patriotism to foment the world wars. That means keeping a cohesive family together. And then after 45, it was then to destroy the family. That's a strategy and a technique that they use. As a matter of fact, it's based on secular humanism, Marxism and Leninism, which is what every public school, college, university is controlled by. Humanism, Marxism, and Leninism. Evidence is clear. And in the Humanist Manifesto that goes back to early 1900s, as it integrated into our system, unbeknownst to 90% of American citizens, one part of their doctrine is, I quote, "They believe the traditional family must be eliminated in order to obtain world peace," unquote. And everybody's falling right on into it because they get themselves involved in all these movements, isms, entities, crats, cans, any organization to keep everybody separated and divided. But no, keep on going it, keep on doing it, because then the revelation will come true and there'll be a massive depopulation. It'd be nice if people was to come together and get out of these movements and all these knick-knack, paddywhack, give a dog a bone organizations and whatever. But no, everybody's got to belong to something. And then they discredit the King James Bible, which is suicide, pretty much. Because that is God's holy word, and no one's ever refuted it, ever, never will. Until the Book of Enoch, and until the aliens come about, and then people will lose their faith. They won't discredit the Bible. The Bible stays the same. The Bible will be true no matter what happens. It'll just be the people that changes. It won't change the Bible at all. And the Bible will come true. When that first seal is broken, no pun intended, but all hell will break loose at that point and there's no stopping it. And then people will be reminded during that tribulation in God's Holy Spirit will remind them of them turning away from the Savior and from the true Creator. It is coming. And it's accelerating every day. I'm going to dedicate the broadcast. And then we're going to get to what we're going to talk about today. Lord, we thank you tonight for being able to come together on this network. Father, we pray tonight for our brethren, for our families, for our fellow Americans and our world governments, Father, that you'll use your Holy Spirit to touch hearts, to wake people up, Lord, to the Savior. That, Father, before all this happens, that you'll have an awakening of your Holy Word, of your Holy Spirit, that will guide people to the truth. Father, to raise our awareness, to raise our awareness, our prayers, Father, to guide us in the right path, that, Father, we can spread the gospel, to set up divine appointments, Father, that we can spread the gospel to others. So we see, Father, these things are transpiring already before our eyes. Father, lift up to you individuals that we've prayed about before, individual of your children that Carrie's daughter, and Father, protect her. Other family members that in our minds, in our hearts, you can read what we're talking, all of us is praying along. Father, you know what all our prayers are about. And Father, we're looking for answers to prayers. But Father, to guide us in the right way, guide us, Father, that we'll do the right things. Give us that conviction when we fall away. So, Father, that we'll pray in earnest to our hearts that they'll be answered. And Lord, we pray for the veterans. Father, we know there's 22 suicides per day. Father, that somehow there's got to be an awareness. We know that the activist groups in D.C. now are not working for the veterans at all. And Father, most of these activist groups are working against and working to slow things down. Father, to bring someone out, Lord, that is going to lead the torch and protect that person, Lord, that the truth will be told about these suicides and how they're being orchestrated and planned. And Father, to bring the awareness, because so many people don't know about what's really the target of these suicides is being orchestrated. Father, we thank you for your King James, for the King James Bible, Lord, your true word of God. We thank you, Lord, for this Bible. Lord, to bring more of awareness to the truth of it and have the Holy Spirit to reveal to others that's reading it, Father, so they can teach properly, Lord, but only with your wisdom and your Holy Spirit. Father, we pray for those children that's going to be abducted this month. Father, to find a way for them to escape. We know, Father, sacrifices are coming between now and April, the end of April, but this month especially. Lord, to thwart these plans of the Wiccan and the Satanists and Luciferians and those at the highest level of government, that, Father, they'll be revealed to who they really are. Father, to give courage to those preachers to come out of their 501c3, the control that they have on them, for them to have courage to speak out. And, Father, to touch the hearts of those Freemasons, to renounce their blood oaths and reveal the truth about these movements that they have out here to get people away from them, Lord, because they're being misled. And these, Father, these things we pray, Lord, in the name of your Son, Jesus. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from this evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Family, even today, I went to a little trip, went to some places, and coming back, I spoke to people just along the way, about a two-hour drive. One place is Winn-Dixie, another place is 7-Eleven kind of place, whatever. And when you get people talking about the end times, sometimes they'll even quit the work and start talking to you. I'm starting to find out. And awareness is increasing of some kind. Something's going on. And little by little, God's going to set up divine appointments. He's going to start touching people's hearts. And they're going to remember what you said. They'll say to you later, after a year of talking or something, you know, Tom, you're talking about this stuff. You know, I got to look at the stuff, and I got some questions about that. Oh, here we go. Every time. Now, you got to get ready for the calling. Let me tell you what. You know, because he'll throw somebody in front of you, and you're going to witness to them. And there'll be a night that they'll never forget, a day that they'll never forget, when they give their soul, give their life to the Lord. And I'm going to tell you what they're going to do if they're really sincere about it. They are going to break down crying in front of you. There's no way someone's repentant and true, and God will know them, and the Holy Spirit touches their heart. There is no way that you're going to have a dry eye. Ain't going to happen. You be ready. If they don't, you better talk to them a little longer. Saying the words, the salvation prayer, the saving prayer that they have you say, doesn't get it. And just because Jesus Christ died on the cross doesn't mean we all can just sit back and go to the Bahamas. I'm saved. I can do what I want because God, Jesus died for me. Okay, bring it on. Here we go. It don't work that way, Masons. It don't work that way. Calvinist? You better go back to school or get back in the Bible because Calvinism is baloney. They're lying to you. John Calvin is a liar. So is Arnold Murray. Herbert Armstrong. Hagee. Joyce Myers. Copeland. Because they're all Freemasons or Eastern Stars. Family, pray for them. Absolutely. Anderson, the whole lot of them, either preach hate. And when Jesus Christ was there and they brought that woman to stone, did he blaspheme her? No. I mean, did he put her down? No. He went after the ones getting ready to throw the stones. That's a basic story in the Bible, a true happening. But he told her to go and sin no more. It means, well, I've saved you, but you can do what you want. No. Don't work that way. But he talked to them. You want to cast a third, first stone? That don't mean actually casting a stone. It did then, but today it's the judgment. You can't judge. I can't judge anybody. Lord, no, I'm the last person ever could. But I can sure read what the Bible says and say, well, what you're saying isn't in the Bible, and here's where it is. Now, I can do that. You're darn right I can. I don't need to go to Bible school. I don't need to be a preacher. Matter of fact, nowadays, if they're a preacher, I don't trust them anyway. Because they've been led by humanist, Marxist colleges. Every single one of them, and that is documented. This is not a speculation at all. So we're already behind the eight ball. Or being an ordained minister means nothing. Well, I come from Harvard, so that means you're at a disadvantage. You're not to be trusted, and I mean that literally. Because, in fact, every major college and university in America, bar none, and every public school today, and has been for over 100 years, had been based on humanism, Marxism, and Leninism. The father of American education was John Dewey. Hey, guess what? He's a humanist. So is Horace Mann. That in itself is a slam dunk, much less about half a dozen quotes I've got from educators that confirm what I'm telling you. Family, only book you can trust, literally, that's never been refuted, is the King James Bible. Granted, you have several publishers now that have started making counterfeit King James Bibles. Thompson, several others. After 2009 or something like that. Cambridge edition right now. And it's getting smaller. Oh, yeah. It's increasing, family. What do you think it means when it says the falling away? That's exactly what they're meaning. The falling away, man, you're just not Winston Dixie. It's what it's talking about. Falling away is exactly that. It's being set up now. And I think I can talk about that right now. Y'all. There was, yeah, I'm from the South. Y'all. All y'all. That'd be all y'all, wouldn't it? Now, people won't think twice about something I'm going to tell you about. But understand, rituals is the same thing as performing an act anywhere in the United States or Europe or whatever, and it hits all the news at the same time and reported. That's the same thing as you being there. That's the same thing as a ritual being conducted. Because all the news and media is controlled through the Council of Foreign Relations, the Royal Institute of International Affairs, Bilderberg, Club of Rome, etc. They control it. Now let me explain this way. With the actual event. That's the best way to go. Recently, now you know bestiality. Mess around with animals when you shouldn't be. That's an abomination. When Rosemont, Minnesota, Rosemont High School in Minnesota had a prank that at that time in 2010, I believe it was, they hit the news, where they had a student gathering in the gym, and certain students were blindfolded, girls and boys, and they were told that a certain person was going to kiss them, romantic kind of kiss, you understand. And they were to tell who it was. So it was a prank set up by the school. So you know it took planning. You know it took getting together with the parents, getting together, you heard me right, getting together with the students and putting it out in the announcements, and then they had the prank. So it took planning. Premeditated, you understand? Like, it wasn't like they knew, didn't know what they were doing. Well, they did it. And the parents would go up to their son or daughter and kiss them like they were a girlfriend, boyfriend of their wife or husband. In some cases, the young son would grab the mother by the buttocks and roll around on the floor and stuff, and everybody's laughing and clapping and so forth. And of course, 4 or 5 days later, there's an apology by the superintendent, but that doesn't mean a thing. The fact is, it was a ritual, a Nimrod ritual. Nimrod married his wife and mother. Nimrod was the first of the Antichrists, signified by the Obelisk, Easter, Christmas, all these pagan holidays. Oh, absolutely the pagan. Absolutely. So that was a ritual. That wasn't just some prank or some dumb superintendent or principal that come up with some, you know. This was a ritual. This ritual is a marking to God. It opens up portals. Now, that being said, and this is a fact, family. I'm not speculating this at all. There was a man in Australia. Now, why am I reading about this in Mount Airy, North Carolina? Why is this worldwide, you know, news? Why isn't it just local, you know, something like that? Because it's a ritual. It's a mocking of God's commandments. It's a mocking of God's creation. What did he do? Okay. Australian man marries his dog. And it shows a picture, looks like Nick Jagger, by the way, shows a picture of him giving, French kissing his dog. A beige Irish setter. A big dog. Male dog, no less. with a kind of a white cape on, like Superdog. Remember Underdog? Well, I guess this puts a whole new meaning to the word underdog. I'm sorry, I'm wrong. A 5-year-old Labrador Retriever, whatever. Joseph Geizo has surprised his family and friends, I imagine that is an understatement, when he decided to tie the knot with his best friend, a 5-year-old Labrador Retriever. From Toowoomba, Australia. He describes himself as a religious guy. Says he can no longer stand to live with his 4-legged mate outside of wedlock. Family, this is not a tabloid. This is real. I'm not done. I'm just going to take one story and go bat baloney about it. But I guess, some other things to give to you here. 30 of the couples, plural, the couples, possessive. 30 friends were present at the emotional event. And of them even played the role of the priest. You're my best friend and you make every part of my day better. He sealed the deal with a kiss right on honey's wet snout. Now, he also assured onlookers that it's not sexual, it's just pure love. Another article, British woman marries her dog, confesses I'm totally her B and ends with an H. Amanda Rogers, 47 years old, and a dog/wife, Sheba, married in a beautiful ceremony attended by 200 guests in Croatia. I knew we were meant to be, Rogers says, and she's on a TV show here. And it shows a little dog that has no clue what's going on with a white dress looking, it's a female dog and a female mariner. I don't find it funny. Because this is what's called ritual. These are rituals thrown into your face and people don't realize it. They just say, well, she's just crazy. I would venture a guess, it's my only guess here, though, that she's into Wicca. This is an abomination. This is a mockery of God's plan. Rogers said Sheba, 4-year-old Jack Russell, controls whether they sleep in the bedroom, and added she once made a man sleep in the dog bed for a whole week. Family, we're close to end times. You have a Brazilian model in March of 2013. Breastfeeds a calf. Sabrina Boing Boing, a Brazilian model. She impersonates Pamela Anderson. She's breastfeeding and shows it in ritual. A picture of it. And then Rosemont Principal, Rosemont High School, in 2011, December 2011, apologizes for parent-on-student kissing prank. Family, these are all rituals. It's not just some crazy stunt or whatever. These are rituals. And then you get into same-sex marriages, now legal as first couples wed. And in Michigan, see, this is a trick they play. First, the state's in on it, and the federal government's all in on it, making it look like they're separate, but they're not. So the way they do it is they approve homosexual marriage, finally, like in Michigan, and they have the couples lined up, ready to go. It's all scripted. And so as soon as it's legal, I mean, within the hour or less, they start marrying. And then they come in, they got like 40, 50, 100 couples married. And then the state comes in and says, nope, we're not going to do it because it's not right. You see, it's part of the game. Freemason's game. So now, guess what? You've got people married legally at that time. Then you have this, the scripted out, the good guys come in and say, well, we're not going to have, it's against the Bible, blah, 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 blah. And guess what? Every single time. Just like a football play. The federal government steps in and overrides the state. Now, that serves many purposes in the legal realm. One, it causes the states to say, we want to secede. How dare you step in? Number two, it helps to federalize the marriages. You see, it makes it federal. It makes it sets a precedent. Man, people don't get it, man. They don't get it. And as soon as they do that, and the federal government set a precedent on the federal court, they can override the state. And the states say, well, that's motivation to secede. You want to secede? Yeah, let's secede from the government. Yeah. You're falling right into the trap. The trap called balkanization. You see, the balkanization, dividing a country up into pieces, was like Yugoslavia. Balkanized, it divided in Herzegovina, Croatia. You see what happened? It gives a motivation to pull away and balkanize. Now, Nixon, actually it goes back to FDR, but Nixon, when he tried a military coup attempt with General Cushman of the Marine Corps that was put down, but it was delayed. It was delayed. Evidence, Executive Order 11647. He balkanized the United States. 10 regions, one governor per region, and would be assigned one UN regional administrator. That was the plan. Once he balkanized it, the traitor he was, just like Reagan, all the rest of them, were Giuffrida, Oliver North, Knights of Malta, Knights of Columbus, blah, 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 all the way down. They had a military coup planned in the 80s as well. But the thing is, was that Nixon balkanized America. And then he made sure it happened the next year by signing Executive Order 11731. And just like Obama, they're all the same, all the way back to FDR. Nobody's different. They're all evil. Every doggone one of them, Democrat, Republican, it makes no difference whatsoever. They're all in toward leading up to the New World Order. Every one of them. Each adding to the next, like building plaque on your teeth, you see. He signed executive order, Nixon did, 11495. And that effectively gave him total control of America in dictatorship. He controlled all governments, all departments under his control. Executive order 11495. And for FDR, it was War Powers Act. And they all got it, man. They all got it. They've all failed, too. Because God's in control. When are they going to learn? Anyway. Well, it failed, and he had Watergate, and then, of course, they impeached. There's no impeaching a president, because they all work together. So they go through the ritual of impeaching him, and then they instead of murdering, literally, I've got it documented, instead of assassinating Spiro Agnew, like they were going to in September 72, they just brought up bribery charges or tax evasion or whatever. He resigned instead of dying. Oh, yeah. Oh, this is all documented. And brought in Nixon's cousin, Gerald Ford, to then pardon him. It's all a game, family. They're going to tell you that they're going to arrest Bush, and they're going to arrest, have a Hague, and arrest Obama, and we're going to get him for war crime. If you're going to do that, you might as well go back to Bush and Clinton and every one of them that's alive, and then change the records of those that's dead and call them traitors, every one of them, because they're all part of this, every one of them. You see? Yeah, buddy, I tell you, it's something. It's amazing. But they're going to tell you the Illuminati's been defeated, and we beat the bankers, and they're all killing themselves. They're the bad guys. No, it's the Vatican. It is the Illuminati, the Roman, the German, and Italian Illuminati insiders. It's the Zionist Jews. It is the Irish. It's the Scottish. It's the German, the Spanish, the French. It's the American Illuminati Council of Foreign Relations. It's a mixture of everybody. Let's call it for what it really is. Freemasonry is the enemy within itself. It's all part of the new Atlantis to come. If you want to see their creation, right now, you can actually do it right now. If you really are adventurous. Right this very second. You can go into National Geographic website right now. And you can put in The Changing Faces of America is the title of the article. October 2013 issue. And there you have their protected new species of human. To eradicate all races except for that one. So when they cause World War III, everybody on top of the earth will destroy themselves, their plan. And the protected race that they have, notice I said race, I didn't say race is, will be underground. But that's not what's going to happen, but that's what they plan. Look it up right now. They have achieved their goal. Now, how do they get this latitude? How come it's escalating so fast? Now, let's go back to what I was talking about. Homosexual marriage. Bestiality. Abortion. Taking Ten Commandments out of schools. You see all that? All that adds up on a balancing scale. A balancing scale. At some point, God's going to say, okay, that's it. When we pull away from Him, He pulls away from us, thereby allowing Satan more latitude to operate exactly how he's doing right now. And to keep us all divided, you have Nazism, Christian identity, you got Zionism, you got KKK, you've got Black Panthers, you've got criminal gangs, Republicans over here, Democrats over there, Council of National Policy. Man, you name it. You got the, oh yeah, Obama's going to release tens of thousands of immigrants that's in prison. That's part of the plan for Helter Skelter. Oh yeah, man, they had this plan a long time ago. Family, only through Jesus Christ is this going to be solved. There's no human being. If they bring Rand Paul here as an interim president or something, it's no better than Idi Amin. Family, they're all part of this. They all play to be on your side, but they're not. They're on the side of the elite. On the side, just like FDR said, in a quote. I'm not going to read the quote right now. I've read it. It's in my website. By the way, my website, watchmenforjesus.com, has a timeline. Look up March the 4th, 1939 on my timeline. There's a quote from FDR that will turn your hair gray. The real FDR that represents all the presidents before and after, except for Andrew Jackson. Of course, he had his own problems in himself, but he did defeat the Illuminati for a couple years when he balanced the budget. The only president that's ever balanced the budget. But he makes up for it by his treatment of the Indians. He's horrific with that. That's his bad side. But then Lincoln came around, who was never a Mason. And JFK came around, who's never a Mason. And McKinley came around. And those three have something in common. They're all assassinated by the same groups. As was Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, and Bobby Kennedy were all assassinated by the same organizations for the same reasons. Garfield was just a bad actor, bad character. He was just doing his own thing and they had to kill him. It's that simple. They tried to kill Andrew Jackson three times. They failed three times. But his quote, FDR said, I'm putting my people ahead of all instruments. He said it right there. My people is Illuminati, and all instruments are American citizens. Family, I can't help this. It's not my fault. But I'm going to tell you about it. So y'all get mad at me if you want to. But when you look this up, you'll find it virtually irrefutable. And that's not saying anything about me. Just saying, I found it, and I'm telling you what it says. You know, it's the same thing you can say when you find the truth. I'm tired of these lies, man. I don't follow any of them. I follow Jesus Christ. I'm done. That's it. I don't get involved in petitions and all that. marches and petitions and all that. That's just to placate. That's all it's for. Well, they lose. They will not succeed. You see, they can never defeat the Creator. That King James Bible will come true. Well, you've got, you're going to have a push. Watch all the, in the other countries. I personally don't have an opinion about this. I'm just telling you what they're doing. They can make a president a female if they want to, a prime minister, or, I don't know, head of the Indianapolis Colts. I really don't care. But I'm telling you, their agenda is to bring women as leaders in presidents, prime ministers, positions is going to happen now more frequently than ever. Because they're switching the roles of man and woman. Oh, this goes back a long time. I got the evidence. I got also the reports of how they planned on doing this. The latest one, Paris gets first female mayor as concierge bites back. It's going to happen over and over. Switching the roles. Destroying the family. All this is part of an agenda by the Club of Rome, Bilderberg, Trilateral Commission, Council of Foreign Relations, Royal Institute of National Affairs, Gorbachev Foundation, think tanks called the Round Table, Illuminati. It's all the same. All connected to this agenda. It's amazing, really, study when you get into it. And boy, they're going to hit sex hard. They're going to hit the religion massively hard, to say the least. And be ready for America's spring. They may pull something off this time. I don't know. But, and also watch out for, international Rights of the Child is coming up. And what they got to show you is how children are being abused. And some of them will be made up. Some of them will be real. It'll be a mixture. When you see it on a regular basis, it's to help us support the signing of the International Rights of the Child. And when you do that, and people say, yeah, we need that because children are being abused. They want you to see that. And when you support this International Rights of the Child treaty that was presented to us in 1989 in America, didn't sign it then. Hillary Clinton tried to get it passed. That turns your children over to the UN. And then what they'll do is what they're doing in Oregon right now, as we speak, is we're getting past the legislation, euthanasia, where children who have disabilities, that's how they're starting it off, can elect to euthanize themselves, and the parents won't have anything to say about it. They will not have the right to stop the child from wanting to be euthanized. It's already started in Belgium. Already in Belgium. And they set the model. Americans are too busy with Dancing with the Stars. And flying a plane in Malaysia, flying around, disappearing, and doing all kinds of different things. We're all tied up with all this stuff. Got us busy, real busy. So you don't see everything happening in Oregon. They've got 5, 6, 7 states ready to jump on it. Once Oregon passes euthanasia for your child, then they're going to jump on it. Make it federal. And your child who's tired of living with a disability will see no other alternative. Mom, I just want to die. No, son, we'll take care of you. It's all right. No, Mom, I don't want to die. You've lost your right. And you can't say no. The child will have rights over you as a parent. Nobody's fighting it. Nobody's saying anything about this. They're not making the connection. I've been trying to wake people up about this, but yeah, This isn't the planning stage. It's being orchestrated in Oregon. I think Oregon is going to receive Major General Jerry Boykin, who's the Knights of Malta. Knights of Malta are part of this agenda to maybe get this thing pushed through. I'm guessing on that one. But him going to some kind of political position in Oregon, I found it very coincidental. This is very important because in the health care bill, your dear grandmother and dear grandfather can just say, well, I'm just tired of living. It's exactly what Satan wants. We need a spiritual awakening in this country to see what the Illuminati is up to. Somebody needs to speak out. But you got harp attacks on the West Coast, these hurricanes, these earthquakes, all this stuff is harp. Everybody's blaming it on God, for example. Earthquakes. No, it's not God. Harp. Your Pat Robinson's, who's a 33rd degree Mason. God put judgment on this. No, he didn't. It's Satan doing it, blaming it on God. God's wrath, when it comes at this 3.5 years, at the end of the Satan's wrath in that 7-year period, it was 3.5 years. After that, the first trumpet hadn't happened yet. Then we're not even the first seal yet. But that last 3.5 years, now you will see God's wrath. Just pray to God you're not here. Oh yeah, right here we go. So a little back step here a minute. 30 March. Oh, here we go. 30 March. President Obama's Department of Homeland Security caught and released 68,000 aliens who had previously been convicted of a crime. Family, I've been talking about this for 5 years. And boy, they're going to be ticked off when they release, and they're going to go to, if they're Arabs, Muslims, they're going to go to Dearborn or Detroit, Michigan. That's where they set that up for the past 20 years. Others will go to Southwest. And you go to Southwest, you get ready. All they need is a crisis, then martial law for safety. Get ready. Oh, and then a song said, people, get ready. There's a train coming. Yeah, well, remember I told y'all so. Because it's coming, family. They're setting all this stuff up. But they're doing it for nothing because they lose. Whoa. They lose. Big time. End time events. Because that Bible, now if you read the King James Bible and you read the Revelation, Isaiah, Jeremiah, and you get to know it, you'll know what's going to happen. All this other is to keep you busy. You see? Well, that being said, some other news before I move on. Islamic group flaunts Jesus is Muslim billboards in Ohio. Got to get it built up. Oh, yeah, the alien deception. Ancient demons in space alien suits. There you go. They're all demonic. There are no aliens out there. Now, shocking discovery. Nephilim, an ancient genetic disc. Evidence of pre-Adamic nation. Destroyed before Adam and Eve. Well, I guess that brings us back to where I was going to go. Amazing how God gets you back on track, don't it? All this I've been telling you, you know what? It's all connected in different facets to keep us busy. That's the most amazing part. And they want the best way to discredit the Bible in every way they can. So, here we go. We have one more hour to go in this broadcast. I know that they have a financial reset that's supposed to take place at some time or another. Nobody really knows. I'm not overly concerned about it because when it happens, it happens. They're going to do everything in their power to show you the aliens is what created us. There's a race before us. And I'd like to talk about that. Now, how's everybody doing on the chat? I haven't seen too much activity in the chat there. Is everybody awake? Usually I got things going on there in the chat. Doesn't seem like it today. It seems like people are quiet there today. So y'all quiet today or what? Not active? Family, you know the most important thing is to get closer to Jesus. We could talk about the news all day long. But Jesus Christ is real. Unfortunately, so are the demons. But they lose. And they control mankind. Mankind don't control the demons. They placate mankind. That's how it works. This concept of a pre-Adamic, Adamic race before Adam, is the pretty much the idea that God created a race of humans who lived on the earth before he created Adam, who was the first man. The hypothesis is promoted by different scholars in different times through history. The Roman Emperor Julian, the apostate, around the 4th century. A Calvinist theologian, Isaac, if my French, Southern French is okay, it's like Pierre, P-E-Y-R-E-R-E. Around the 17th century, 1670s and so forth. These are two examples. A lot of years between those two, by the way. A little bit of continuity. When you look at the apophyses of the pre-Adamite, the apophyses as it was proposed by Prévert, was called the gap theory. Well, there's gaps there. It's also known as the ruin reconstruction interpretation. R-U-I-N hyphen reconstruction interpretation. And according to La Prière, God created the Gentiles on the sixth day, and he said, let us make man in our image. You find that in Genesis 1, verse 26. Then they say that he didn't create the Jews until after the seventh day, his day of rest. So at some point after the seventh day, then God created Adam, father of the Jews, according to them. Certainly that's not in the Bible. But that's what they say. La Prairie, I'm getting tired of saying that. I call him Prairie. Oh, La Prairie here cites the scripture to support his hypotheses. He says that Cain, who died in the flood, by the way, or probably died naturally, and all his offspring died in the flood. They didn't hitch a ride on the ark. Well, that's part of the Noah movie. Whole new term to that song, Hitching a Ride. Well, Cain's fear of being lynched, his marriage to an unknown woman, and the fact that he founded a city, Genesis 4, 14 to 17, are all interpreted as evidence that another race of men coexisted with Adam's family. Not the same one in the 60s. Whole different Adam's family. So La Prairie reinterpreted other passages of Scripture as it cascaded. in this particular understanding of Genesis, you go to Romans 5, 12 to 14, says, therefore, just as though one man, through one man, sin entered the world, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men, because all sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world. But sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam unto Moses, even over those who had not sinned in the likeness of the offense of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. And you know that Noah carried that? Because it says that Noah was perfect in his generation in the King James Bible. And that's what it refers to. Perfect in his generation refers to passed on genetics to make original sin to carry on. If God had killed all humans and created new humans after the flood, you'd have to have original sin all over again. Nah, you see what I mean? But original sin, it's another reason why you cannot have any aliens out there. There's no aliens. They're completely discredits the Bible and original sin. The Pleiadians had to have original sin, or that the earth is the only one that's cursed. Well, that's not quite fair now, God. So you must have had an Adam and Eve for the Pleiadians as well. Or the Andromedans, or Klingons or whatever. They had to have original sin too. Even Billy Graham, who's a Jesuit, spouts off that there's aliens. 1997, said on an interview. He's wrong. There's not. Because you can't have original sin and aliens exist at the same time. Romans 5, 12 to 14. Blows it right out of the water. And that passage is traditionally interpreted as meaning that death began with Adam's sin. Thereby it makes Adam and Eve the first blood sacrifice of God. Yet they lived, they began to die. That death was transferred to animals in ritual to signify it, to represent the coming Messiah at some time in the future. Now you see. So the death began with Adam's sin. It reigned unchecked among men, even among those who haven't actually eaten the forbidden fruit. It was carried on because God used original sin by one man. Mankind was condemned by one man. Sacrifice. Men are redeemed. Is that genius or what? Major sacrifice on God's part. When God came down in human flesh by the name of Jesus, was God incarnated in the human flesh, he took his own punishment, in essence. Sacrificed his life on earth so we may live. That's major. Those who sinned, but not in the likeness of Adam, until the law was given to Moses. So, La Prairie interpreted that passage another way, of course. According to La Prairie, the pre-Adamic Gentiles sinned against God, but in a manner less egregious than Adam. And so that's why Adam's sin brought death, while theirs didn't. Is that nuts or what? Because not true at all. He says that they sinned against God's moral will, while Adam sinned against the law. So Adam disobeyed God's prohibition by eating the forbidden fruit, which is the first gospel. That means that Adam broke what La Prairie called the law of paradise. You know, it's kind of like out in the West, you're playing poker. You get shot for a lot of prairies, dude. Making up rules as you go along, it'll kill you. In poker, doing that. Well, here they do it, and God's going to do the same. He's going to send those, or actually they send themselves. He don't send them to hell. They send themselves there because they deny God's word. They're not born again. So by rejecting that, it's automatic. He says, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. It's eternal. There's no annihilation. It's not in the Bible. There's no reincarnation. So according to La Prairie, the pre-Adamic Gentiles were those who had not sinned in the likeness of the fence of Adam. So, when you do that misinterpretation, it just cascades. Like a snowball going down a hill. Now, the problems of this are quite numerous. Adam is called the first man in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 45. Well, there you go. And that would mean it's inconsistent with this idea that God created men before Adam. Secondly, according to La Prairie, you know, that actually may be the right way of saying this. Wouldn't that be a hoot? Anyway, according to this La Prairie guy, the Gentiles were to live outside the Garden of Eden and see Adam could enjoy the paradise. Well, that wasn't quite fair, now, was it? It's a privilege which came with the responsibility of obeying the law of paradise, not eating the forbidden fruit. It just gets worse from all there on. In Genesis 2, verses 5 to 8, it says plainly that God created the man whom he had formed. And the very same man he placed in the garden. There were no men upon the earth to cultivate the ground. Thirdly, God created Eve for Adam because he was alone. So there's no one else like him around. It's not good for man to be alone. For Adam, there was not found a helper suitable for him. You could say, well, they're out there, but God couldn't find anyone good enough. That God didn't have Match.com. You got to be kidding me. Genesis 2. Verse 18 and 20. And fourth, Adam named his wife Eve, because she was the mother of all the living. Genesis 3, verse 20. Family, the list just goes on and on and on. These passages should suffice to refute La Prairie's misinterpretation. Now, in covering Cain's fear of being lynched, his marriage to an unknown woman, and the fact that he founded a city, you find in Genesis 4, 14 to 17. Now, Adam was about 130 years old by the time Cain killed Abel. Adam had Seth, his next son after Abel's death. He was about 130 years old. You'll find that in Genesis 4:25 and 5, verse 3. So we know that Adam had sons and daughters. Genesis 5, verse 3. So at 130 years old, he could have had grandkids, great-grandkids, by the time Cain killed Abel. Cain had plenty of family members to be afraid of after killing his brother, because you had split. So Cain apparently married a family member. Incest was not illegal then. It's almost necessary. That's why they came up with Leviticus later to stop that. Because the world had already been populated. Go forth and multiply. Ring a bell. Then it seemed kind of odd. Today, incest is outlawed by God into the law of Moses. It may have been around that time that generations of degenerative genetic mutations began to take a toll on the DNA. There's a reason why. God outlawed incest for our protection. It became, and actually remains even today, dangerous for close relatives to procreate because of shared genetic defects among family members. It's expressed their children causes severe deformities and other problems. And where do you think that comes from? Yeah, vaccinations, man. Mercury, vaccinations, the food. Family, it all cascades around us. And this carried through, just like the Nephilim, and had the hybrid sons of God DNA with daughters of man was abomination. Led to the flood. I'd say that means God takes it very serious about abominations against his creation when he wiped out the entire earth with a flood. That's serious. And because Noah was perfect in his generation, besides being righteous, perfect in his generation was not speaking about being righteous. It's already mentioned in that verse. It's talking about perfect DNA. It was not confounded or it was not corrupted by fallen angel DNA or defects. That's what that means. That's why they took it out of the other Bibles. So you couldn't draw this conclusion. You'll find that in Genesis 6, verse 9. Genesis 6, 9 says, "These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God." Now, just as a little fun here, the NIV says, quote, "This is the account of Noah and his family. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time. He walked faithfully with God." Say, what? That's not what it means at all. New Living Translation. "This is the account of Noah and his family. Noah was a righteous man, the only blameless person living on earth at the time. He walked in close fellowship with God." It just gets worse and worse. English Standard Version, New American Standard Bible, says Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his generation. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his time. King James Bible says, "These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations." Perfect, how do we mean perfect? He is a sinner, so that takes away the righteous part. Because already says he was righteous, or he wouldn't, you see, I mean, there's the distinction. He is just man. That takes care of the part where he's close to God, and that was moral values. So perfect in his generation, what's that describing? DNA. And what are they doing today in transhumanism? Mixing the binary code with DNA. Marrying a dogs. Breastfeeding a calf. Don't they have a cow for that? Now, I used to live on a farm, and last I heard, a calf was the nurse off a cow. I think it's kind of getting ready to change now, don't you? That's what we did on the farm anyway, was watch a calf nursed by a cow. Cow's got the necessary equipment. And last I saw was a woman nursing a baby. Yep, that's what it was. Yep, it was. Family, we're in a whole lot of trouble. I'm going to tell you. Now, as far as Cain founding a city, if he lived to be the average age back then, he probably lived to be about 900 years old. And you got to live a long time to procreate. It's what sex is really for. And by the time he died, his family would have been a small city. I mean, you can create a whole lot of a lot of creating there in 1,000 years or so. You know what I mean? If Cain had a child at the age of 30, his child had a child at the age of 30 and so on, Cain would have produced 30 generations by the time he died. 30 generations times 30 years equals 900 years. So this ruin reconstruction interpretation, it kind of takes a different direction or a different landing to the pre-Adamic race theory. So when you go back to the gap theory, which is an unspecified amount of time between Genesis 1:1 and 1:2, during which God created a pre-Adamic race of men that lived upon the earth until God destroyed them in judgment. God knows the end from the beginning. He had known from the time he created man that he's just going to destroy man in the first place. But God knew that he wouldn't, because God knew that the line of Seth would carry through righteous men by free will. Small number of them, per se, would carry to Noah, perfect in his generation, to then restart the earth with 8 and not 2. Uh-huh. 3 sons, 3 daughters, went 3 different locations when they landed on that flood. There's other extinct creatures, by the way, like the dinosaurs are said to have lived during that time, were abominations created by Satan using alchemy, manipulating DNA. There's no 65 million years old. That's nonsense. Coming from nonsensical science, archaeology, anthropology is baloney. Remember I said one of the 7 rays, Asheram rays, created by the fallen angels was science, which includes archaeology, anthropology. And they owe us an apology for their garbage and evolution, all this nonsense. Darwin was an avatar, for starters. Evolution is impossible. In a world of entropy, where everything dies, rusts, mutates, consumed, destroyed, that's the rule. How do you continue on living? This is by God's power. You don't. Well, they mutated. Oh. Let's look at mutation. Mutation simply means it's missing something. And when it's missing something and it creates something else that's missing something, it's missing more. And then it's missing more. It's missing something, which means it's going to die. Mutation don't get it there, scientists. You being humanist now, that makes it more understandable. Because you lie. This is a massive lie that they've told us for generations about evolution, about all this stuff in the books. They keep changing the age of the universe, age of the earth, 4 billion, 6 billion, 9 billion, 12 to 15. They can't never make up their mind. The origin of man is a monkey. A monkey, where did a monkey come from? Oh, a fish, of course. Oh, okay. Then they changed it to a worm in Canada is the origin of man. I kid you not. Couple of scientists in Norway. Then they said, well, no, it's a bacterium or something, virus or bacterium, whatever. So I guess it's a bacterium, virus, that mutated into a worm? Oh, okay, worm. And the worm mutated into a fish or what? Have I got this wrong? Okay. And the fish mutated into a monkey? Okay, a monkey. And the monkey mutated into a man. Which bloodline is your monkey? Don't go slap your monkey now. But I'd sure trash that book. That's what I'd do. Because that book is baloney. It's actually an insult. God remodeled the earth in 6 days. He created Adam on the sixth day, and the rest is history. Some people say that Satan's fall occurred around some point during this gap period. In the King James Bible, where there is no mistranslations, zero, God said, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Those are the proponents of the gap theory. They emphasize the word replenish. They interpret the text as saying Adam and Eve were to refill the earth. They were to fill it again, in other words. Now, the Hebrew word for this is male, M-A-L-E, and it means to fill or to be full. Moreover, the English translators of the King James Bible knew the word means to fill. They chose the word replenish because the 17th century Elizabethan English, by the way, replenish does mean to fill. Like in modern English, the word replete doesn't mean to abound again. It means abundant or abounding. So God guided the King James translators. And so since language is not static, but language is dynamic, especially English, because English is a universal language, unlike any other language in history. You think maybe that's why God chose English to bring the King James Bible? Because it's universal? I don't have to learn Hebrew or Greek. You don't have to know the Greek and Hebrew. God already inspired the translators of King James to choose the correct Hebrew, Greek, Latin, Aramaic, and English word to put in the King James Bible. Perfectly. But the words today have changed over time. So today, replenish means to fill again. Like meek. Meek is controlled temperament. It's strength. But meek today means weak. Meekly. Yeah. You see. See what they've done? It didn't mean the same thing in 17th century England. All modern translations translate this word male, whatever, simply to fill in the passage into question. Genesis 1, verse 28. So if you go back and you look at the formula, the formula being be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth. Well, if you're fruitful, have sex, and you multiply as a result of sex, you've got people that's going to live and die, live and die, live and die. And then when they live and die, live and die, you replenish it. It's very simple. It doesn't have anything to do with a pre-Adamic race. And so they go further in proponents of the gap theory, and brings us up to date, sort of, with the Noah. They point out that God said to Noah after the flood, be fruitful and multiply and fill, male, the earth. So it's evident that Noah in Genesis 9:1 was meant to refill the earth after the flood. He got a different ballgame now. So could we then interpret the same command to Adam to mean the same thing, that Adam was to repopulate the earth after God's judgment? Well, the fact is that regardless of what condition the planet was before Noah's flood, God didn't tell Noah to refill the earth. He simply said to fill it. God chose the words. He chose no others. And he passed it on through inspiration of the Holy Spirit to the translators. If he said refill, that would have been something. But since he said fill, argument falls flat as a flitter. And you know the real problem with the gap theory? It places human mortality, which is what we have, the pre-Adamic human mortality before Adam's sin. And I alluded to this a little while ago. So the Bible is quite clear that death came through Adam's sin. For since by a man came death, by a man who came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all will be made alive. 1 Corinthians 15, 21-22. So, the Bible is explicit about human mortality before Adam's sin. There wasn't any. To deny this would be to deny a central Christian doctrine. And there's no theologian that can do that. They can try, but they'll fail. Scriptures stand. There's no pre-Adamic race. Now, were they fallen angels? Oh, yeah. Called the sons of God of the Old Testament. Referred to in Job 38:7. After, in the New Testament, the sons of God were those who accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. Whole different ballgame. Because the sons of God of the Old Testament were put in chains until judgment in Jude 6:8. 2 Peter. However, the second wave of fallen angels, watchers, came down during the period of Nimrod. Started all over again. So that they were somewhat restricted. So by ritual, human sacrifice, Tower of Babel, they would be able to come into this realm of the first heaven on earth from the second heaven. Now you know. Hollywood can never be trusted. Back in the old days of Charlton Heston and Westerns back then, was the nuclear family, was integrity. All that was to foment the nuclear family to set up. That's what they wanted. It was to be believable. So Charlton Heston had a good acting. He's a Freemason, but he also was part of NRA. NRA was designed to slow down the activities of keeping weapons. The NRA worked against those that want to keep weapons. People don't realize that. In the same way that they're trying to identify the causes of suicide, 22 suicides per day of our veterans, there's a group, I've got a study out on that, that's Rykoff or whatever is up there. He's a member of the Council of Foreign Relations. That's a member of the Illuminati. They're not going to do anything about veterans and suicides. It's there to placate, come up with objectives, councils, committees, declarations, blah, 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 over months and months. But every single day a veteran, 22 veterans die when they come up with these stupid documents and all this and all that and don't accomplish nothing. And a nose spray that's anti-suicide, that's an insult. I'm a former U.S. Marine. No nonsense. And I believe in getting things done. But man, when your hands are tied and you listen to a lot of baloney on the hill and you're trying to make people think that they're doing something they're not, that kind of irritates me just a tad bit. It's kind of like you have you're a sheep farmer and you got too many sheep. Well, I'll solve that problem. You go get you a couple of wolves and throw them in the sheep. Or chicken. Or coyotes and throw them in the chicken coop. Same thing as having those involved in Council of Foreign Relations to work with veterans. It's there to slow it down. Anybody going to challenge it? Nope. Nope. You just continue on. All I can do is just say in this little station, I mean this little broadcast of mine, you know, I don't know. I certainly appreciate Revelation Radio Network giving me the opportunity to talk. You know, I really appreciate that. And they have archives, by the way, that you can come in, download the archives, send these things out. They got some good broadcasters on this network. Some of us don't always agree or disagree. Nobody knows it all. Nobody knows it all. But it's a matter of being able to speak out, no matter what. That's really what it's all about. Giving you all the opportunity to make a decision. It's called free will. And sharing. In preparation for when it finally gets real. Now, this movie, Noah. In the film, the person who shakes his fist at God is the villain. Noah and Methuselah and the heroic characters of the movie are all affirm God is the creator and just judge. What's more revealing after you see, I saw it this weekend, an image of himself in a corrupt city, Noah comes to realize, admit his own sinfulness. Now, this is beyond just the surface treatment. It's very thought-provoking, actually, because I show it to you in detail. You have some other positive features in this movie. Noah actually, it's the plot that's kind of paced to move along. It's convincing, special effects is pretty good. And you have good performances from Russell Crowe, which in one of his several interviews, he certainly has a different view of Noah than what the Bible says. Anthony Hopkins is Methuselah. But there's five things you should know that aren't so positive. One, Noah's main character doesn't ring true at all. The title of a movie is the name of the main character, and you have to nail it. It doesn't happen. Noah becomes disturbed by human sinfulness. He obsesses on the idea that the race of man should not survive. This portrayal of Noah is dark, and you don't want to be like him. You really don't. It's hard to reconcile this character with the righteous man that's described in Genesis 6. Or the man of faith described in Hebrews 11. The Jews and Christians will have a hard time, and they will have a hard time, as I saw it, recognizing Noah in the film. You say, well, is that Noah? I don't think it is. Getting paid to be. Well, okay. And then this environmental issue and agenda, they way overdo it. It shows images of war, violence and theft and sexual sin and so forth. But the main evil of humankind, according to Noah, is the abuse of the environment. Here we got a little bit of 20th century going on. Much of the film feels like a setup for this agenda, that we destroyed the planet, therefore destroy man. The film does not set the hook. As a matter of fact, to the contrary, the words in Genesis 6 that's used to describe the sins of Noah's generation are wickedness, imagination of the heart, on evil always, corruption and violence. Well, the textual emphasis is on violence. It's pronounced in this movie. It's like a Braveheart kind of thing. There's not a word about hunting or mining. The environmental issue is phony. And Noah, the film, fails in this regard. You have a theistic type of evolution scene. So in the darkness of the ark, Noah retells the creation story like he would the prophecy of Enoch. He didn't say, let me show you the book of Enoch, my grandfather or great-grandfather, whatever. He'd tell the story behind or in the ark. From the beginning, there's a creator who calls forth the light. So far, that's good to go. However, your visuals is on the screen. They're put out there like any Walt Disney film. And once life gets going, which show primitive species morphing again and again to a more sophisticated creature, a little bit of evolution thrown into the mind. They're clever. They really are clever. When the one I went to, it was a fairly large number of people there. The movie I went to, I saw two this weekend. That's the most of the movies I've seen in 5 years. I went to two of them in one weekend. I'll never do that. I wasn't paying any attention, actually, God is dead. God's Not Dead movie came out at the same time. And then I found out about it the next day. I said, oh, man, I'm going to see that. Now, that was packed, and it was a good, good movie. Not a dry in there. And this movie is powerful. It's packed. And it's powerful. Noah's is actually the opposite. Many conservative evangelicals, they believe that straightforward reading of the Bible indicates that new kinds of life were specifically created, not evolved. God spoke, they happened. Then they come up with the Nephilim idea and concept. Oh, boy. The Cliff's Notes summary, the watchers help mankind with the technology. That's sort of true, sons of God. Humans abused it for evil. I don't know. What did Fred Flintstone do? Anyway, God cursed the angels for this and turned them into rock giants, like rocks. They were like walking rocks. That wasn't it at all. They were angels, man. They were like human, but they had copper-based DNA. They were big, too. They created other humanoid by the daughters of man, mixing the angelic DNA with the human DNA. There was no rock giants, Nephilim, or fallen angels, or watchers. The fallen angels helped Noah build the ark and defend it. When they died in this battle to defend the ark, these mysterious beings are coming out of the rock, go to heaven. Well, that doesn't happen. It's not true. So in a long line of biblical interpretations about the Nephilim concept, the giant concept, it's quite rich. It takes the cake for the most fantasy. I never heard this one before, but they got it on screen. Angels don't go back to heaven in the end, but they go down to the hell, as in Jude 6-8, until the judgment. Hell was created for the fallen angels and Satan, not for man. The only two places to go when you reject Jesus. Pretty much humankind send themselves there by rejecting Jesus. He doesn't have the name in the book of life, so they head to hell. Get your name in the book of life. Repent of sins. Don't wait around. The Holy Spirit's going to call those to come. He's going to call you. That means conviction, that you know you need to do something. Follow up on it. And it's not in the churches today. I'm going to tell you that right now. The churches are gone. Only a handful, if that. Preachers today are taught by humanist colleges and universities and certificates. Being a theologian or being a pastor, whatever. So that doesn't mean anything. Going to biblical Bible college. So what? You're taught erroneous theology. Of that, there's no doubt whatsoever. Based on humanism, and it's getting worse and worse every single decade, every year, actually. The secondary biblical details are actually blurry in this movie. Noah follows the main lines of the biblical plot, but the secondary elements don't come out so well. Two of Noah's sons are teenagers, not adults. They don't bring wives on the ark. But one son's wife has two twin girls. So you ask yourself, I wonder if that's the future wives of the other two. And what's really wrong, and what made me get up and walk out of the movie, was toward the end of the movie. I missed about 30 minutes of it. I just mumbled to myself as I got up out loud, this is baloney. I'm out of here. People looked at me like, well, that's, excuse me, I got to get out of here. Was he going to sacrifice those two girls because he figured that God didn't want man to survive. So he said, when the wife of one of the sons, if it's a boy, we'll let him live. And finally, the last one of them will die off. But if they're girls, I have to kill them. Say, what? That wasn't Noah in the Bible. So at the last part of the movie, the babies are born and they're two girls. Uh-oh. Noah, they're trying to stop Noah from killing. He goes up to it. The last minute, he's getting ready to stab the... He just stops and says that he disobeyed God by not killing the girls. You got to be kidding me. This movie is way out of it. You know, don't waste your money. The main nemesis is Tubal Cain. Tubal Cain is mentioned in Freemasonry, by the way. He hacks his way into the ark. Eats some of the lizards as a stowaway, tries to kill Noah, solicits the help of the son that lost his wife, and the second son. It's another story. He tried to save a girl, and she died. It's a mess. So he's against Noah, one of his sons is. So he helps the stowaway, Tubal Cain, to survive a period of time, even tries to get his father killed. It's ridiculous. The stowaway line, as I've heard before, is not in the scripture. It never happened. All of Cain's bloodline died. There also were corrupted DNA. They had magical objects that do the supernatural, the seed, the Pontus to drink, and birthright snake skin. Say what? A birthright snake skin. Uh-huh. The snake, yeah, they got a little sneaky part in that. So are these occult or just extra biblical miracles of biblical proportion? Some cases it looks like two of every species are packing into the ark rather than two of every biblical kind. It's a really, really tight fit. And he puts them all to sleep. So Noah gets Noah wrong. He gets the environment wrong. He gets evolution wrong. Gets angelology wrong. Gets some of the biblical details absolutely wrong. And the fact that none of the negatives can be deduced from watching the previews has been released. They don't tell you about these. It's a bait and switch to Jews and Christians. It's a lie, man, on film. But some people go to this film and enjoy it, while they're being trained and not knowing it. A lot of people leave it thinking, wow, thinking it's true. Don't waste your money. It's bad news. But God Is Not Dead is a good film. Really good film. It's kind of a relief to watch it. Actually, to get it right. Pretty good. Fine, we're coming down to it here. toward the end. I'll be back here in RevelationRadioNetwork.com next Monday, 8 to 10. Tomorrow I've got my regular broadcast, 4 to 6, on WatchmanForJesus.com. I have a website that you also can listen to it from there, 4 to 6 p.m., Monday through Fridays. Today I wasn't there because I had an appointment, so today was a rebroadcast. From 4 to 6. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Fridays, I have Bible study from 7:30 to 9, in addition to the broadcast 4 to 6. Family, they are really corrupting the Bible big time. You have organizations, Christian Identity, all kinds of organizations that, family, you got to talk to them. You got to pray with them. You got to, I don't know, if you have friends in there, you got to get them out. All these, all of them, all the organizations, even religions. Family, Jesus Christ is not about religion at all. The doctrine of Jesus is contained in the King James Bible. It's irrefutable.
My name is John Waterman, and I was a spy. And I was burned.
So,
I
think we're heading off here.
And of course.
So here shortly, we're going to close down today, tonight, on this Monday. Oh, by the way, if I sound a little bit full in my mouth, I had a tooth pulled today. Oh, it's hurting awful. Yeah, but that's okay, by golly. Yeah, I had a tooth pulled today. First one in 60-some years. I don't count the ones I lost when I was a itsy-bitsy baby. So I think we're off already. Are we off?
For cover. Food storage.
We off or not? I don't know. Family, I think we're off already. I wouldn't swear to it. Probably are. Well, y'all have a good evening.
What is it that's in your home that causes grown men to cower and children to run for cover?